What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you could find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at IssuesETC.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker joins us for the remainder of today's program on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 17th. We're going to be talking about the first appearance of Elijah. Elijah's a big prophet in the Old Testament. He's so big that he makes an appearance. He gets talked about a lot in the New Testament. This is the one that everyone was expecting to show up before the Messiah. The first time he shows up, he just comes with a prophecy that there's going to be a famine. There'll be no rain in the land. He says, as I stand, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, there will be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. First thing Elijah has to say, God's judgment in a famine. But he remains and survives by God's provision. We've all seen the story, seen the pictures there of Elijah sitting by a brook and the ravens bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. He drinks from the brook and at least for a while there, he is sustained by God's provision and God's provision alone. What is this all about? And this little brook that allows the prophet to drink while the rest of the land is suffering under a famine, at least for a time. Does it have a connection to baptism? Joining us is Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
This is the first time that we meet Elijah, called Elijah the Tishbite. Who is he?
Elijah, as you indicated, this is the first time in 1 Kings 17 that he's even mentioned. The name, by the way, means God. My God is Yahweh, which is the name of God that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he was a prophet and a wonder worker in the northern kingdom of Israel. After Solomon's death, Israel divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the northern tribes were ruled by a series of dynasties unconnected to the Davidic line. And Ahab, who is the king during the time of Elijah, the Bible says he was apostate from the very beginning, and he had married Jezebel. Jezebel actually was an unbeliever and a priestess of Baal. She brought lots of prophets with her. She's also the daughter of the king of Sidon, and that was one of the ways they tried to keep peace among themselves, Ahab marrying, say, the daughter of another king. But according to 1 Kings chapter 16, Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it says in verse 33, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So Elijah becomes the prophet of God to King Ahab and the Israelites. And the idea of being a prophet means that God gives you inspiration or words to say to those in authority, and that's why Elijah is considered one of the greatest prophets. We know that he did not die, but again, according to the scriptures, he ascended into heaven in a whirlwind into heaven in a chariot fire. That's in 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 to 11.
So this, he just comes out of almost nowhere. We don't even know where the town where he came from, he's called a Tishbite, actually is. It's only mentioned as his hometown and nowhere else. And he just kind of pops up in the northern kingdom to address King Ahab. Let's explore that. Had did more evil, more to provoke the Lord than the kings before him. That's saying something, isn't it? Because the kings before Ahab had been pretty wicked in their own right, hadn't they?
Yes, in fact, both the northern and the southern kings, there were very few of them that were very faithful to the Lord. And the northern kings, particularly, the series of dynasties unconnected to the Davidic line, as I said, were really quite wicked. Now, what had happened, Jezebel had brought along her belief in Baal with hundreds of prophets, and they even set up worship places where worship would occur. And this, the reason that was so evil, obviously, is the people began to move in that direction. We even see that with government officials. Let's say they change their views on gay marriage or something. All of a sudden, everybody now thinks that gay marriage is okay because the heads of government are saying that it's okay. So this is what happened to Israel. They left the word of God, did not listen to God, and so God, in his infinite mercy and kindness, sent them a prophet to remind them of what the will of God was in this horrible situation.
So Ahab's primary sin, we tend to kind of picture him in the Sunday school mode as this kind of, you know, guy twisting his mustache as a classic villain, but his real provoking of the Lord comes in his idolatry, not in that he's necessarily some sort of wicked king who mistreats his people. It's his idolatry.
Yes, and as we well know from Luther's Small Catechism, every sin, commandments 2 through 10, always break the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, which is always a form of idolatry. Sometimes on my seminars I ask, what is the other word for sin? Is it disobedience? Is it unbelief? Is it idolatry? And very few people choose idolatry. They think disobedience is what sin really is about, or maybe an act of unbelief. But at its bottom line, it is the same thing that Adam and Eve did in setting up themselves as God. They wanted to be like God, knowing good and evil, and therefore they fell into sin.
Why then is God sending the drought that will occasion the short story we're going to talk about today?
This is because God is so loving. That doesn't sound like it makes any sense at all. But any parent who has a really disobedient child, the way to help the child recognize their disobedience is to refuse to give them something that they're looking forward to. Perhaps watching television at night, or being able to ride their bike during the day, or going and playing baseball. And that is forfeited as a way of waking them up to the fact that the worst thing a parent can do is applaud when their children are doing something wrong. So God doesn't applaud what the people are doing. He then starts reminding them. And we just went through that not long ago, where he sent poisonous snakes among the people, and the purpose was to move them to repentance so that they might be saved. As the New Testament says, God desires no man to go to hell. He desires all men to be saved. So this is a very loving act, and in case you want to understand the idea of discipline a little bit better as a loving action, I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to look at Hebrews chapter 12.
So with about a minute before we take our break, the warning and the prophecy comes in a certain form. Elijah says, as the Lord lives, there will be no rain except at my word. What does that mean, as the Lord lives?
It's a way of making the vow dependent upon the Lord. This is not a vow that Elijah is doing. And that's why pastors are really doing the church when they speak the word of God in its purity, and they also administer the sacraments rightly. In other words, they repeat to the people what God has told them. And by the way, it's not till James chapter 5 that we find out how long it did not rain. And it says, for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth, not until Elijah prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. So that little point is not found in 1 Kings 17. It's found in James chapter 5.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break on this Tuesday afternoon, June 17th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Elijah at the Brook Cherith, where God allows him to survive when the rest of the town, the rest of the land is beset by terrible 3.5-year drought. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll be right back. Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan, in Rochester Hills, the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, that's LCIW.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest, the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at LCIW.org.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms, everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues, Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 17th, Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Elijah at the Brook Cherith, in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, what happens here, Tom, is that the Lord directs, specifically directs the prophet to go down to this little brook, which is east of the Jordan, so on the far side of the Jordan, and there God feeds him day by day and keeps him alive. What's God doing here?
The interesting part that I found is that he tells him to hide himself. And the original Greek word, which is kathar, actually does mean to hide oneself. Well, what I find so interesting is God has the power to have Elijah walk into the palace of Ahab and not even be seen. But he uses our world to do his work. It's kind of like when he divided the Red Sea, he just didn't say be divided, but he used a wind. And it's kind of interesting to me, at least, that he's sending him to a place that is kind of deserted so that Ahab cannot find him, because Jezebel is going to be making a vow that she is definitely going to find Elijah and put him to death or else. So God uses things in the world to protect us. Just for example, today I got a call from a pastor, and there was a congregation who needed someone to preach in the near future, and it just so happens I'm free that weekend. And so I called a layman, and we actually knew each other from some time ago. And if he said it once, he said it two or three times. Boy, the Lord really knew how to put us together. God uses natural things to fulfill his destiny, to fulfill his will. And so he doesn't make Elijah invisible. He just simply tells him to go and hide. And what I like, very interesting, verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's what we call faith. It's a trust in the promise of the Lord that once God makes a command, even though it kind of seems silly, that you're going to a place where there is no food, but he goes. And that shows the great faith of Elijah.
Is this, in a small way, we can't draw too direct of a parallel, but it certainly seems to evoke images of other narratives that we've talked about at length with you, Tom, and that is God feeding his entire people hundreds of years before in the wilderness after the Exodus.
Yes. First of all, they were thirsty when they crossed the Red Sea, and he gave them water. Then they needed bread. He gave them manna. Then they wanted meat, and he gave them birds that they were able to catch and eat. One would have imagined that once they arrived at the land of Canaan, it didn't matter how big the giants were, this same God would easily have overcome them, and look at how they just lose their faith. And we look back at them and say, oh, that's terrible. The Sunday school teachers need to help the students understand that we are just like Israel. We don't have that strong faith because every time we sin, even as children, we're putting ourselves ahead of God. It's always an act of idolatry, and it's only because we have a merciful and gracious God that we can be sure that we are being taken care of.
So he goes to this place where he has no real, I mean, there is a brook there, but he has no real prospect of survival there because there's no food to be had. You said a minute ago that God uses the kind of the created things of this world. And is that what we should see when we see these ravens? Ravens don't bring me food, Tom. This is not natural raven behavior.
No.
They generally tend to be kind of busy. They even kind of drive out other birds when it comes to the scarcity of food. And food's got to be scarce everywhere in the land here.
Because of the drought.
Yeah, because so these ravens are doing something that's completely unnatural.
And they bring him not just bread, but also meat. And they do it twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. And then he also drank from the brook. And so you have this tremendous promise from God. And remember, the promise is given before Elijah leaves, where he says, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So this is showing the God of creation. He first of all commands, not only is there no rain, there's no dew on the land. Then he commands the animals he has created to sustain Elijah with not just bread, but also with meat, and he puts him in an area where he will not get thirsty.
It doesn't last forever. We are told, and we'll talk about it a little bit, that the brook does dry up because of the drought in the land. But explain in a little more detail. He's made this proclamation, but then he's told to go hide himself. I imagine, I'm just kind of thinking, trying to think through what might happen in a human sense in this scenario, because Elijah essentially said, if I say it rains, it will rain. If I say it doesn't rain, it doesn't rain. And I imagine if you're Ahab and suddenly you realize this drought is real, this isn't just a coincidence, you're going to be looking for Elijah. You're going to force him to make it rain.
That's correct. And I said specifically, too, that Jezebel definitely goes against him. In chapter 18, Elijah actually confronts Ahab. But what I also find interesting, after verse 7, when it says the brook dried up, now it's not part of the Sunday school lesson, but I think I have missed this before until I did the study. Then the word of the Lord came to him, rise, go to Seraphith, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Well, guess who's from Sidon? Jezebel is. It's the king of Sidon. She's his daughter. Now, that would be like me running away from, say, terrorists, and then they say, and we want you to go to the city in Iraq right now where they have taken over and hide there. It just, the faith that we need, and this is the way God works, the trust in his promises often don't make sense, that what we're supposed to be doing. And of course, Jesus experienced the greatest nonsensicalness when he came to die upon an accursed tree by being pierced in hands and feet. My sins are forgiven, and yet he did that willingly and voluntarily. And that gives us our great hope.
The word that's used there, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Talk, if you would, for a bit, Tom, about, and you mentioned this quite often, that the real thing for the Christian to grasp are the promises that God makes, the specific biblical scriptural promises. And these are things that the Christian can not only depend upon, but in the case of Elijah here, he goes and he acts upon it.
In fact, that's a good point you're making, Todd, because the distinction between the theologian of self-glory, he thinks God is taking care of him when he experiences being taken care of, in contrast to the theologian of the cross, who knows God is taking care of him because he promises to take care of him. And so it's very important that there is no experience that Elijah is going through where he is safely hid and the birds are giving him food and bread. That's in the promise. And so before he experiences it, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And that's also the definition of where the church is. The church is where we do things according to the word of the Lord. I believe it was Norman Nagel in the preface of our one of our last hymnals. He says that what proper liturgy and divine worship is, we simply repeat back to God what he has shared to us. And so we trust those promises, even though our experience often is contrary to it. And, of course, who's not thinking today about St. John's Lutheran in Pilger, Nebraska, Todd, where the tornado destroyed both the church and the parsonage? Fortunately, no one at the church was hurt. One a little girl and another man were killed. But how are they going to be worshiping this Sunday? They're going to be worshiping on the basis of hearing the promises of God, even though their experience seemed to contradict the notion that God was taking care of them. But he was, even during that horror of the tornado.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, about another 10 minutes with him, we'll talk about the law and gospel of this text in 1 Kings 17, the prophet Elijah at the brook Cherith. You can find out more about the radio program Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Producing 10 hours of live talk radio every week from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity, Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson in 1 Kings 17, the very first story told about the prophet Elijah, the story of the great drought that Elijah pronounced over the land on oath from God and God's provision for the prophet at the brook Cherith. Tom, I'm wondering about a theme that I see here. We talked about it a few minutes ago with regard to the people in the wilderness, and then Elisha will later have a similar theme where, in fact, it's also at the end of Elijah's, near the end of Elijah's ministry, where he is also miraculously fed again, this time just because God is trying to strengthen him for the journey that will take place at the very end of his prophetic ministry. Is there something to be learned about how these feedings aren't just feedings? I mean, this does keep him alive, but is there something for the church today to learn about being fed from the hand of God?
I believe the Concordia Publishing House material does a wonderful job in always trying to tie in the catechism to each of these lessons. And the item that they use this time is the Lord's Prayer, the petition, "Give us today our daily bread." God provides daily bread, it says, even to the wicked, as Luther wrote, without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that God may make us aware of his gifts and enable us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. That is why before yesterday we had a kind of, or Sunday, Father's Day, and met with our grandchildren and children, and we prayed before the meal. We didn't do that because the meal needed blessing on it so that it wasn't poison or anything, but as a reminder to us that this was a gift from God. And so we ought not be surprised that just as God provides Elijah with drink and bread, so also God provides us with drink and bread. And that is the very wine of his blood and the very body in the bread, in with and under. This is also a way of sustaining us. It is where the church is, where not only the word of God is preached in its purity, but the sacraments administered rightly. And I remember one of the talks I listened to was, of course, President Harrison, where he was talking about the unique items of Lutheran theology. And one of them he mentioned was our understanding of the sacraments, that these are not just, you know, something that is an image of what we look forward to. This is the real presence of our Lord and Savior. And for the Sunday school children, I would therefore make big reference to the children about their baptism, that just as God put Elijah near water, he brought water to these children, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, He was sustaining them spiritually.
Is God also, through this drought, setting up the circumstances for the next stage of Elijah's prophetic ministry? Because it's going to involve the miraculous feeding of a widow and her son. It's going to involve the raising of the dead. All of these things are taking place in conjunction with this drought. This is not the kind of thing that, again, another miraculous feeding, this is not the kind of thing that happens. These events don't happen isolated from one another.
No, they certainly don't, but because they're really not in isolation as though we're alone. I really appreciated your answer to the gentleman in the program before ours talking about, was Jesus the rock, or what was he of that rock that gave water? And as 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and you indicated, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So he wasn't the real rock any more than he's a piece of bread or a sip of wine, but he is the spiritual sustenance given through those elements. In other words, what is spiritual food and drink? It is drink and food from God. And therefore, we want the children to be aware that not only their physical food is also, in a sense, spiritual food because it comes only from God, but particularly the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper is something we want to underscore for them so that they can have the assurance that they're just like Elijah. They're being hid from the power of the devil. The devil can touch them not. One little word can fall him. And they are being sustained by God throughout their life because he promises, and here we get back to the gospel promises, he will never leave them nor forsake them. No temptation beyond what they're able to endure. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. And that's the faith that we want to have those children have in order that they too can be assured of the love of Jesus.
With only a minute, do we today have a word as sure as the one that the prophet Elijah spoke to Ahab, that word being judgment, but a word of pardon and reprieve as the Lord lives that sure to us today, Tom?
I would have them go to the Pentecost sermon of Peter, where they are cut to the heart, which means, boy, the law has really hit them. They killed the Prince of Peace. What are they to do? And the answer is, they're to do nothing but have something done to them. That is to be baptized, which is in the passive. It's something God is going to do. And in that passive work, they're to receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the living God today continuing to work his wonderful benefits as he did with Elijah and all the Old Testament prophets.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll talk with Tom about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Tom, thanks for your time.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with George Conger of Get Religion about the media's missed religion angle on the death of the last communist leader in Poland. Coming up at the end of the month of July, July 28th through the 31st, at Concordia University, Nebraska, my alma mater, there's going to be the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. The theme is Comfort, Comfort Ye My People, Singing, Preaching, and Praying, the Comfort of Christ to the Troubled Conscience and the Broken Heart. This is a conference for church musicians, for pastors, for lay people, for anyone interested in liturgy and the church's music at Concordia University, Nebraska, in Seward, Nebraska, July 28th through the 31st. You can find out more information by looking for the Comfort, Comfort Ye My People logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for it right there, issuesetc.org. I'll be there, and we'll be broadcasting live from there, and I hope to see you there in Seward, Nebraska, July 28th through the 31st for the Comfort, Comfort Ye My People Conference, issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.